Couple of weeks ago, I attended a continuing ed class on the end times. The professor, the Reverend Dr. John Stevenson from Fort Wayne Seminary, suggested this poem to our class. The title of the poem is "My Life is Drawing to Its Dawn." My life is drawing to its dawn. The darkness soon will all be gone. The sun will shine upon my face, and in his gaze I'll see his grace. The night will yet grow colder still. Dear Father, do thy perfect will. And let me see those promised rays that I have longed for all my days. The dark is deep before dawn's kiss. Despair impends before true bliss. Pray, paint the skies of inner sight with rainbows of Christ's risen light. Pour out on me the Spirit's power. Give me his fire for this dark hour. He'll fan the flames of my belief and to my fears grant sweet relief. O dazzle my heart, Lord, I pray, with sure hope of the coming day, that I may bear the night in peace until dawn breaks on my release. In this poem, My Life is Drawing to Its Dawn, the author, Kurt Reinhardt, echoes the epistle reading for today. Both authors point out that death is not the end, but the beginning of something better. For Reinhardt, it is the expectation of dawn, the dawn of his Savior, his face looking upon him just as the early morning sun chases away the darkness, warming the earth and all that is in it. Yet he knows that the coldness of night is still upon him. He yearns for the day when the sun will shine, chasing away the despair, ending the fear that comes with night, with darkness, with death. Hope comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, his power, his perseverance, his confidence, granting faith and perseverance to all who trust in him. Dawn is coming, and so is deliverance. But Paul describes in our epistle for today this in a different way. He uses the language of tents and houses. The tent is our earthly home, our bodies, temporary, transient, fleeting. This tent will be dismantled, destroyed, for life here on earth is not permanent. That is to say that Paul didn't believe that we just cease to exist when we die, but that we are given a new body, a glorified body, so much better than the one that we have now. We have this to look forward to, not a tent, but a house, though not one built with human hands, one built by God that is eternal. We long for that day. No pain, no anxiety, no tears, so unlike the tent that we wear today. Our tents leak, have holes. The zipper is broken. The tears have been sewn up. We have patches everywhere. Our tents are old, some hardly able to be used. So we groan. We want something new. And we will someday. We have this promise of a house from God guaranteed. And that house will be so much different. It will be permanent, waterproof, without holes, patches, or tears. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 4 paints us this picture. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." The former things have passed away. The temporary tent is gone, replaced with a new permanent house. Our glorious body will be perfect, without fault, without pain, without anxiety or tears. wouldn't long for such a body? In the midst of this tent house metaphor, Paul offers up another analogy, that of clothing. It may seem out of place. However, in their culture, the Jews thought of their bodies as clothing for the person, the spirit. The body was what had contact with others and made communication with others possible. To them, the death of the body deprived them of everything that made them a person. It was like being unclothed or naked. It was this fear that made them want to bypass physical death entirely and go directly from this life to eternal life, never experiencing death. But the promise of God was and still is, whether we are alive when he comes or have died, that we shall not be found naked. God has prepared us for this very thing. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. It is through faith in his word, his promises, that we can have courage and confidence in what comes next. We know that when we die, we are separated from our bodies for a time. Our bodies here stay here on earth, while our soul goes to either heaven or hell. And we will stay that way until Christ returns, when all mankind is judged. This separation of body and soul is not to be feared, although it's not how we were created. It is the door that mankind must travel through. Paul talks in terms of what is more desirable, to be at home in the body but away from the Lord, or at home with the Lord and away from the body? For believers, it is far better to be away from the body and home with the Lord. Either way, we are to do our best to serve and please him. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, receiving what is due to us for what we have done while here on earth, whether good or evil. This may seem like works-based salvation, but it is not. To help us here, let us take a look at Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Also consider this passage from John chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Sheep are those that have faith in Christ. Goats are those who do not believe. At Judgment Day, the distinction has already been made. You either died in the faith as sheep, or died in unbelief as goats. Death is the first judgment. Death sorts mankind into sheep or goats. The eternal destiny of a person depends upon this one thing alone, whether or not he had faith in the gospel of Christ. As sheep and goats, then, what is the purpose of Judgment Day? It is a reuniting of body and soul and a public confirmation of where you were at when you died. You either had faith or you didn't. When believers are before the judgment seat, God sees only the righteousness of Christ. We acknowledge this in our confession and absolution when we say, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared." For a believer, their sins are as far as from the east is from the west, as described in Psalm 103, verse 12. So when we stand before God and are judged, our sentence is one of pardon, one of justification, due only to the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Unbelievers do not wear the righteousness of Christ because they have rejected him. The wrath of God abides then on the unbelievers, and they are sentenced to hell and will be punished for all the evil they have done in this life, while the believer will be rewarded for his good works done in faith. So what are these rewards? What are the punishments? Can heaven be any better? Can hell be any worse? It's hard for us to imagine. It is very biblical, however. In Matthew 11, 22, Jesus says, "It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." Also in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, "He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality." Wrath and fury on top of hell. Glory, honor, and peace on top of heaven. I don't think we can wrap our heads around this. So instead of fixating on this particular aspect of what the rewards and the punishments are, let's focus on what's important. What Paul wrote in verse 9 of our epistle reading: "Make it our aim to please him." To please him is to do what he requires, obeying the commandments, living holy lives, giving food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, welcoming strangers, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and those in prison. When we do these things, we do them as if unto God himself. These bodies that we live in today were originally meant to be permanent. They were good, perfect. At the end of creation of man, Genesis 1:31 reads, "God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." But the sin of Adam and Eve changed all of that. Now our current bodies, our earthly tents, are only temporary. We are plagued by the effects of that sin so long ago, and the sins that we have committed ourselves. The image of God that we are made in has become distorted. God has promised to fix all of this, to make us once again in his image. With that in mind, we don't have to fear death. It is the door to something so glorious that we cannot even comprehend it. So on this side of heaven, we long for the house that God will provide. As we think about this, as we think about all of these things, we are sort of like a young couple, newly wed, maybe with a newborn, living in a cheap apartment. They really want to be in a house. So they work, they pray, knowing that this is temporary, yearning for the day when a house will be theirs. We too yearn for God's house as we live in this temporary tent of our bodies, working, praying, living for our Lord. May God bless us as we persevere, waiting for the day when we will finally be home, clothed with our immortal bodies, serving the Lord and enjoying whatever our reward may be. And to God be the glory. Amen.